Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Have you ever felt passionate about a particular ministry in your church, but perhaps underprepared to serve or lead? Well, today we're going to go look at how to both grow as a leader as well as equip servant leaders in the local church.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. Together, we want to help Christian leaders rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church.
So it's great to have everyone with us today. Glad you could join us. And today we're going to continue our podcast series. And today we're looking at issues related to our own personal growth as leaders and servant leaders in the local church. Charles, growing as a servant leader itself, that's a multifaceted process. And I'm convinced nobody goes from zero to 60 in ministry leadership quickly. It's a process. So what are some of the concepts or steps for personal growth or even developing servant leaders in the local church?
Well, you know, Bruce, you are absolutely right. Zero to 60 is it's often something that we desire. I mean, Sammy Hagar told us that I can't drive 55. So that's, I think for a lot of us in ministry, that's a mantra we try to live by. But if we're going to lead and grow and develop, It's a brick by brick, a piece by piece, and it takes a lifetime to master all that we need to know in ministry. And so we're going to talk just for a moment about a good model for how to develop leaders in the congregation, but then also how we can personally develop our leadership as well. And as many of us know and can attest to, the oftentimes the hardest person to lead is ourselves. So I'm a type of person that I like a good system and or a good model. It just gives structure to me and it helps me. And one that you and I have both found is called the railroad model. Robert Clinton developed this, and what we're going to talk about maybe a bit modified from his original offering, but the railroad model is just, to me, is a phenomenal model or system to use for leadership development. You can kind of massage this railroad model into the life of the church. As you develop leaders, I think you can use it in discipleship. I think you can use it in a number of formats, but as we're talking about developing leaders, be it a team or developing our personal leadership, the railroad model, I think, is at the top of the list of just being practical, but also being effective and useful in our developing leaders. And so if you're a visual person, kind of try to paint the picture in your mind of a railroad track. So we have you'd have the base, the granite, the gravel, whatever that base is that the track rests on. That's your foundation. And so that's spiritual formation. That's developing our biblical knowledge, developing our relationship with Christ, all things developing our spiritual life. That is the base, and that is everything comes and is built on that strong foundation. You can talk about character formation as well. So spiritual formation, character formation. I can't remember who made the quote, but I really, really like it. And it's this, that talent may get you there, but character is what will keep you there. And we could all give examples. We could all write a book filled with examples of how talent helped people get to places, but character kept them from staying in those places of those platforms of success or achievement. And so the bedrock of all that we're building, of all that we're developing in leadership, is the spiritual formation, the character formation, and it all rests on that. And then you've got the two tracks of a railroad track, and one track of that is new knowledge, new information. So as we're developing as leaders, as we are developing other leaders on our teams, we have to help them and have to help ourselves acquire and gain new knowledge. The other track of that is new practice or new experience or new ministry. And so if we're going to help our staff leaders and staff pastors or ministry leaders develop in the teams that they're leading, we've got to give them new opportunities to practice and put into practice this new information. So we're going to give them some new experience. And that looks different in different contexts with different people. But those are the two tracks that we're going to run on as we develop leaders. We're going to give them new knowledge. We're going to give them new practice or new ministry experience. And then what ties all this together are the actual railroad ties that connect the tracks. And that would be a reflection with coaches and mentors. And so, Pastor, as you're developing your leaders and developing your teams, you're most likely going to serve as a coach or a mentor to those that you're influencing and that you're impacting. And you're going to help, you're going to have times of dynamic reflection so that your ministry leaders, ministry directors, your staff, whatever the team is that you're working with and you're developing, you're going to spend time with them to let them reflect on their new knowledge and their new practice. And you can be a mentor to help guide in their exercising this new knowledge and implementing the new practice. You're going to be a coach to ask those questions that help draw out the work and activity of God in their life and help them come to a fuller understanding of growth and development in their leadership. So that's just that was quick, simple, quick overview of the railroad model. Listen, we could do an entire episode on how to lead this model in the church.
Yeah. And Charles, one thing that I've always appreciated about this model is it's not like a step one, step two, step three, step four. It's building it all together. And so the idea is that, you know, spiritual formation is the bedrock, but simultaneously you're using the learning new things, new knowledges, new skills, but also working parallel with that is actually practicing. And then the tying it together, with the coaches or mentors, I just think that's powerful.
Yeah, again, it's a simple model, but very powerful. And I think it highlights for us kind of some gaps that are pretty evident in our leadership development. I think certainly there's always room for improvement in every area, but I think just intuitively, there's something within us that says, all right, well, I need to help people get new information. And a lot of times, maybe that's just, hey, staff, let's read a book together. And then let's practice this. But I think oftentimes what's missing in our leadership growth and leadership development is the spiritual or the character formation. Oftentimes, and I don't have data or scientific data or surveys that I've done just to back this up. These are just simple my observations. But I think that the spiritual formation kind of gets left on the back burner. And then even more so this reflection with a mentor, with a coach, I think is greatly missing in a lot, if not most of our leadership development that we're trying to pull off. And so what this model does for us is gives us a complete and a comprehensive view of how to develop ourselves as leaders, but how to also develop the teams as leaders, and just gives us a kind of a turnkey approach to do that and to accomplish that within the church.
Charles, are there any additions what you can think of when it comes to developing leadership or growing as a leader?
Yeah, I think we've got to take a look at leadership and leadership development from all sides. Oftentimes we think about being a leader and we think about the positives, you know, the good things, kind of the romantic side of being a leader. But there's what's called the dark side of leadership as well. I know there's a great book written on that subject. But just being aware of our personal weaknesses and deficiencies, our dark side, and so where we may excel in certain gifts, we have to be cognizant and aware that in our excelling, if we're not careful and if we're not self-aware, there can be a dark side to that gift in our life. So, for example, I'm kind of a visionary leader. I think a lot about vision and the future and moving forward, and I'm a strategic thinker. So I think a lot about the vision and the execution of a vision and mission and plans and those things. And I excel in that. But if I'm not careful, I can become very, trying to think of the right word, I can become very negative, very critical towards people who don't think as deeply or who aren't as willing to move as quickly as I am in the implementation of vision, mission, strategic thinking, and plans. And so I've just learned that lesson over the years as I've become aware of the dark side of leadership. So I've got to be aware of that and understand that, yes, I have gifts and God's given those gifts, but if I'm not careful, there's a dark side to that. And so just being able to balance and be aware that is a possibility. Another component would be anointing and authority. Understanding anointing, I think we would all agree, is God-given. It comes uniquely and directly from God and by God. It's nothing that we can conjure up, but this divine appointment, divine release of power and effectiveness that can't be crafted by human hands. It is only by God. And authority, being now the kind of the human element of having authority to be released into ministry and to receive ministry. So balancing these divine and human elements in ministry and in leadership. So those are a couple other facets of leadership development and growth. And again, these are things we could talk about, devote an entire episode to each of these other components. But they all work together congruently to form the leader and to develop the leader and help us grow ourselves and grow our teams as leaders. So any thoughts, anything else, Bruce? What did I leave out or what did I say wrong?
No, I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward. One of the great things about this podcast is we get to talk about things that we're passionate about, things that we don't just like, doing these things. We like to think about them. It's energizing for us. And I think one of the secrets maybe of a good podcast is that, you find an audience of people that are passionate about it like you are. And
yeah.
So I love, thinking about how we develop leaders. And I'm a big believer in the railroad model,
mm-hmm.
as well as some of these other things. And so I'm looking forward to the discussion we're going to have on these over the next several weeks. And, one thing I will say about the darks, we call it the dark side of leadership. Everyone has one. Everyone mm-hmm. has a dark side because we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
Every one of us needed a savior, and everyone needs a savior. And so recognizing the dark side is a real moment of humble self-awareness, and mm-hmm. you're a better leader if you can allow that that work of God's Spirit in your life to help to give that to you and to help you yeah. develop your own self-awareness. And that's going to be a really interesting episode once we get there.
Absolutely. And just as we're talking, I'm thinking about kind of some resources So just to kind of tie into that dark side of leadership, another book, just a little book, simple book, pretty easy read. It's called Leadership Above the Line. It was written for the corporate world, but it's good, simple, easy read. And again, the premise of that is defining your strengths and your gifts and wanting to lead above the line in those, recognizing that when we lead below the line, that a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of negative behaviors can come out of our leadership or our mindset if we're not intentional to keep ourselves above the line. Can't remember the name of the author. That's terrible of me. But again, good little book, simple book, Leadership Above the Line, that ties in with that idea of the dark side of leadership. Well, let's keep moving here. We've okay. talked about the spiritual formation being the bedrock, the base, the foundation of this railroad model, which we use to develop leaders. So what do you think is a good definition or a good understanding of spiritual formation?
Well, spiritual formation is just the idea of it. It's pretty broad.
Yeah.
It brings a lot of definitions to people's minds, a lot of thoughts. I think traditionally people think of, well, isn't it just called discipleship? And yes and no, it is discipleship, but it's more than discipleship. I like mm-hmm. to think of discipleship, you know, a part of spiritual formation. But really, when we talk about spiritual formation, I can't help but think of the heart of our podcast, which is, you know, rediscovering Christ speaking and acting in the local church. And for me, one of the great things about discovering that is we have to discover how he's speaking through you and me,
mm-hmm.
Because individuals make up the body of Christ. And so, you know, as we talk about the church discovering that present activity of Christ in their midst, it's something we want to encourage believers to really discover, that he's speaking and acting through them. So I would define spiritual formation as maybe the continual building of one's life in the likeness and the activities of Christ. I think that's where I would start.
Okay. That's great. So it's not just a one and done thing. We continually work, we continually grow and are formed in Christ's image.
Yeah, it is a continual building, a continual developing work of the Spirit in our life.
Yeah.
When I think of, you know, scripturally, there are places we turn to that help us understand it. Obviously, Galatians 2, where Paul was sharing how he says, I've been crucified with Christ. And the result of that is I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So the life of Jesus emerging in my life and in a very comprehensive way. And so, you know, he turns around a couple of chapters later, almost exactly two chapters later, and he says to the Galatians, you know, I'm laboring in you. He describes it like a woman in childbirth.
Okay.
He's, I'm laboring until Christ is formed in you. I'm going through the birth pains and the contractions, you know, of that experience, kind of in a spiritual way, so that Christ is formed in you. And, you know, we can't talk about spiritual formation without talking about what we've been introducing from the get-go here in this podcast, is Ephesians. And that the fact the five gifts are given for spiritual formation of the body, that you know, verse 13 has that beautiful phrase that I love again and again and again. I go back to it. That the growing of the church is into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I was just kind of refreshing my reading on that. And, you know, the word for stature, there is the Greek word for height. And so the height of Christ, you know, and how high is that? I mean, how great is that? It truly is, you know, Jesus is is really the higher life. And and to think of growing into that stature, it is a lifelong thing. And I don't think it'll be fully revealed until this life is over. You know, when, as John says, beloved, has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that we will be like him. We'll see him as he is. And so it is a lifelong, you know, we're not talking about, you know, a rapid escalation in spiritual formation. It is a lifelong commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a great point as you referenced Ephesians and how Christ gave these gifts to form the church. So as we're thinking about leadership growth, leadership development, how do I develop my teams? And help me if I'm wrong here, but it would seem to me that as if I'm a lead pastor, senior pastor, and I'm tasked with leading the entirety of the church, that part of my responsibility in leadership development it would be developing a team that encompasses all five of those gifts, so that it's just not prophetic gifts that are active and working. So we may have a church that is strong spiritually, has a strong hunger and thirst for the Lord, and the spiritual things of Christ are being highlighted and are active, but there may not be any evangelism gifts exercised or being practiced. And so it seems like to me as a leader, I would want to develop those gifts within my team so that the full complement of those five gifts are being exercised or being developed and are growing within the church. Am I right in my thinking? Have I gone off the track somewhere here, Bruce? Or
no, we want to keep it on the track. That's why we go.
Exactly.
The formation. And, you know, as a leader, I think it's easy to run to the need of our church and to try to fix weaknesses in our church. But I think the systematic building up of people leads to the availability of gifts, you know, that complement the whole team. And so when you think about your leadership team, it makes all the sense in the world to work on building up not just their skills and their abilities, but creating a way to build up Christ in their life to help them become more and more like Jesus, because that's where I think the full expression of those gifts begin to emerge. I like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you and say, absolutely. Thank you for affirming me in my questions and my thoughts.
I was just thinking, we were talking about maybe a definition of that and what does that look like practically? And there's a couple places that I go to, a couple people that I think, you know, they're, to me, their spiritual formation, they're thought leaders. And one is, the late Dallas Willard. He defines spiritual formation as the process of the Holy Spirit building not just the expression of Christ's activity in his speaking, or maybe we might think the outward expression of Christ in my life, but he talked a lot about the Holy Spirit building that inner world of Christ into the inner world of you and me. And I think that's pretty important. Philippians talks about having the mind of Christ, and I think that's part of, you know, our ongoing renewal, is that I'm not just beginning to look more like Jesus, I'm actually beginning to think more like Jesus. And then, you know, we're spirit filled, we're unapologetically Pentecostal believers, and when that doesn't mean we diminish others, that's just who we are. But one of your old college professors, I believe, was Frank Machia, and
Yeah, and, shout out Dr. Frank Machia.
Anyway, Machia, he urges that spirit-filled believers use spiritual formation kind of as the whole process of what God is doing in us, whether, you know, from becoming a child of God through the new birth to baptism in the Holy Spirit, being used in spiritual gifts, the whole work of sanctification. That's about helping us become more like Christ. So we want to encourage that full salvation work of the Spirit in us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those are very powerful and poignant words and ideas that you're bringing up. The if we can develop the fullness of Christ in ourselves and in our leaders, just think how that strengthens the church and the expression of Christ, not only in the church, but through the church, to touch and to reach our communities. So it's critically important about spiritual formation in our leaders to develop the fullness of Christ in them and within us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the default for most people is to think, well, when we talk about spiritual formation, isn't that just studying the Bible or being in a small group? And you know, those are certainly components of that. Maybe we can speak to those in a moment. I was reflecting on this somewhat, and in the Gospels, Jesus, he mandates, that's the Great Commission, is to go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand making disciples based on Jesus having disciples and working with them. In fact, it's in Luke where he says that when a disciple is fully trained to be like his teacher. And so discipleship is actually leading people to become like you. In this case, Jesus is making us to be like him. That's what mm-hmm. discipleship is. And, that's the language of the Gospels. That's a lot of the language in Acts. But, you know, this is something people, I think, fail to understand sometimes, is that the New Testament was written. The history happened in the Gospels first, but the New Testament was written in the epistles first. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the first writings in the New Testament. And so, before the early church was learning about Jesus calling disciples, like in a written form,
mm-hmm.
they were reading Paul's letters, and Paul really doesn't say make disciples. He uses other terminology. He talks about, brothers and saints and family of God, and like Ephesians, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of an interesting terminology that Paul uses. And so, like, it's funny, in Greek, disciple is mathetes.
Okay.
But Paul used a word that sounds real similar called mimetes, and it means imitator.
Mm.
And he's talking about people that are looking more like Christ through imitation. But the imitation wasn't that they were imitating Christ. Paul says you became imitators to the Thessalonians. He says you became imitators of us.
Wow.
And this is, I geek out on this. I'm sorry, but but the idea was, Paul says, like, you know, your classic Paul line is "Follow me as I follow Christ."
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have an imitator without a model, and so in the New Testament, in the church, we have to be imitators of Jesus as leaders, so that we can develop people as they become more like Christ.
Wow, man, that's strong. Somebody needs to tweet out. Do you tweet anymore? Do you exit? Whatever it's called. That's a great line. You can't have an imitator without a model. That was worth the price of admission right there. What a great thought and a great idea. Man, how did you get to be so smart, Bruce? We're brothers-in-law, and none of that's rubbing off on me.
Yeah, well, I think the jury's still out on whether or not I'm smart or not. But Charles, how would you define some of those essential components for spiritual formation?
Well, I think there's several we could talk about, and we'll list a few of those, but this idea of being an imitator, pastor, leader, if you're leading the church, or if you're leading a ministry, or if you're leading a team of ushers, leaders go first, and leaders, we set the example. And so those who are under our purview of care and influence and leadership, if we're leading well, they're going to follow our example. They're going to be they're going to follow our influence in their lives. And so we have to set the example. We've got to go first. And this idea of spiritual formation, oftentimes we our relationship with Christ as strictly a personal relationship. It's my relationship with Jesus. And certainly we are each responsible for our relationship with Christ. There is a personal element to that. I don't want to diminish that, but beyond what we do personally is spiritual formation. And you talk about this a lot, Bruce, but spiritual formation demands that there be relational connection with other believers. And so pastor leaders, church leaders, ministry leaders, wherever you're serving and leading within the local church, as you and I develop spiritually, as we are formed spiritually, that creates great strength and a bond within us, between us and Christ. But our relational connections with those that we're leading and those that we're influencing, they are. It gives them someone to imitate. So the stronger our relational connections, the better picture, the better of a model that they're able to imitate. I hope I'm probably being as clear as mud right now, but beyond our personal relationship with Christ, our relational connections with the body of Christ and with those that we're leading facilitate, and they serve kind of as a conduit for the forming of other believers. Does that make sense? Or am I just kind of talking in circles here?
No, absolutely. I think you're right on that. That relational connection between the leader and his people, whether it's his team, whether it's congregation, that is vital and absolutely necessary.
All right. Well, good. And so if we can just encourage all leaders, pastors, church leaders, ministry leaders, directors, wherever you serve in the body of Christ, yes, develop your relationship with Christ, but don't keep it to yourself. What you are doing is much more, has a much wider influence and reach than just in you personally. It begins there, but also build those relational connections so that now there's a bridge. And, the relationships are the delivery system in the kingdom of God. And so build those relational connections, make them strong so that there is a lifeline and the life-giving life of Christ that's able to be released into those that we are leading and that we are developing. So some things that we can engage in, some components of spiritual formation, things like worship, prayer, the Word of God, submission, fellowship, fasting, communication, stewardship, our ministry and service. And again, we could spend a lot of time on this. This could be another episode for sure of the components of spiritual life. But those are about eight or nine, I think, that just kind of listed off there. But each one of those have a private component. Again, the personal relationship that we often talk about. But each of those components also have a public function and release of those components. And so we may meditate. If we take the Word of God, we may meditate and discern and feed on the Word of God privately. But then there's also, as leaders, there's a public declaration and a declaring of the Word of God. And so, anyway, that's just one example, but those are about eight or nine components of spiritual formation that, as leaders, we need to be, all of us, need to be developing and can using to form up our faith. And again, as that creates strong bonds between us and Christ. But then it also, if we will be intentional about forming those strong relational connections with the people of God, then it allows a strong bridge or a strong conduit by which the life of Christ can enter other people's lives and can form them up as well. So just
as I think what I'm hearing, what I'm hearing, it's a point we don't need to move too quickly from, is that in leading spiritual formation or growing in your own personal spiritual formation, there is that public side of participation in things that you've mentioned, mm-hmm. like public worship, corporate prayer, dedicated corporate seasons, I think, of fasting.
Yeah.
But then that activity in private, which is private devotions, meditation, there's a balance of the public participation, and that's spiritual community, I think. I believe that's what I'm hearing.
Sure.
But then also that private expression where you've made a commitment personally to take in those spiritual disciplines or those means of grace, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, not to belabor the point, but as we grow in those means of grace privately, it opens up new realms, I guess, of relationship with Christ. Certainly strengthens our relational ties that we have with Jesus. But then the outflow of that is that as we develop that spiritual community, then those we are leading, those we are have been called and positioned to influence, they receive the overflow of what Christ is doing in our lives. And I want to make a distinction here. I'm not saying the leftovers, because what they experience from the overflow is as fresh and pure in their life as it is in ours. It's not something that we just reheat and say, well, we wish you could have enjoyed it the first time. But it's something that it's fresh bread to them, just the same as it is to us. And so it's not the leftovers, it is an overflow, so that the very work that God is doing in me privately and personally, that same spirit, that same formation, that same growth that's happening in me flows through my relational connections in spiritual community. And now the staff that we work and serve with, the ministry leaders, the directors, those that are leading our teams within the church are being fed and being nurtured by the same spirit that is feeding and nurturing me as pastor. And I just, you know, there's no room. I don't believe there's room in the body of Christ for this kind of superior attitude or even feeling inferior to. We all serve in different capacities and in different positions, but it's the same God. It's the same Spirit who is developing His people. And so this strong spiritual formation that should be taking place in our lives, it is that same development, it is that same growth by the same Spirit of God who is developing the body of Christ now through our relational connections in spiritual community. So what does that look like? What's a practical example? And just off the top of my head, I'm thinking let's look at prayer. And so I spend time in prayer privately, individually, in having times of devotions, and you know, whatever that looks like for you. I think that prayer time should be a time of expressing my needs and my petitions, and praying for others' needs, praying and declaring the will of God. There's a time of declaration that I pray, but then there is also a time of me listening in prayer. What does the Father have to say? If it's true that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession, what's Jesus praying over me and over my family? Because I'm telling you that those are the prayers that I want to be praying. I want to pray over my children what Jesus is praying over them. I want to pray over my family and over my life what Jesus is praying over us. And so there needs to be a time of listening, of discerning, of reflecting. You know, what is He praying over me? And then, so now what does prayer look like corporately? In the congregation, I think, and even as we're talking spiritual formation, leadership development, what does that look like? To me, it looks like pulling in your leaders into a semi-private room, into a place where now we can gather as the leadership and we can begin to pray. And what are we praying? We spent time privately discerning and reflecting, and now we come together in this community and we begin to pray together, and we are declaring the will of God. We're praying in a manner that you know, we're praying, God, your will be done in this church and through this church to touch your creation, to touch your world. And so there are times for declaration. There are times that we declare the discerned will of God. And then there's also the component of as a team, we're listening because we want to pray the prayers that Jesus is praying over His church. You know, that's the beautiful thing about this. We don't have to create or make up anything. We have to simply listen and discern together as a team. So, Pastor, you don't have to always be the one who sets the agenda. There can be team members, and you can teach them that you can hear the Lord as well. You can have this divine communication. And so we take time to listen in the prayer room together as a team. So,
Charles, I think that's a critical element.
Yeah,
where you're as a leader, you're not only inviting people into that to experience that personally, but you're creating a synergy with the team, where they're experiencing Christ together, and it reminds me of something that I believe it was C.S. Lewis. J.R.R. Tolkien and another lesser known companion, Charles Williams, they had a kind of their own informal small group. And mm-hmm. when they would meet together, or all three of them are brilliant minds and thinkers and authors. And Charles Williams was the first one to die. And both Tolkien and C.S. Lewis reflected on Charles's life. And they said, you know, we experience Christ differently now. It's not the same. because we don't get to experience that through Charles. And so, you know, when you bring that team together, everyone's vital to creating that experience with Christ, and it's unique, and it's something we should encourage as spiritual leaders. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It it gives the team a voice, and it gives the team an opportunity to express what they feel like, what they sense, you know, God is speaking and Jesus is praying over the church. In our pastoral ministry, this is something that we've consistently practiced in leadership development and spiritual formation. And I'm praying privately, but I'm bringing the team of leaders around me, and we're together, and we're praying in this manner, like we're talking about. And I give them the opportunity. Now, listen, what do you sense the Lord is praying over us as a church body? What do you sense? What do you feel Jesus is saying over us? And give people a chance to reflect and to practice in that gift of discernment. And I'm there as pastor to kind of guide that and to lead that, to pastor those moments, and to help develop the spiritual formation. But what I've found is on more than one occasion, I realized that, wow, the Lord is what I sense the Lord speaking and praying over us is also what the team, the more time we spend together praying, it becomes evident and clear that the team is discerning the same things that I'm discerning from the Lord. And, you know, we'll come into that meeting, and just me personally, I tried to do those prayer meetings like on Sunday mornings before the morning worship service. And, you know, I come into the prayer room, my sermon's done, notes are turned in, everything's ready to go. But more times, more often than not, in that prayer room, through the reflections from our team members and our leadership team, the Lord brings out nuances, things that maybe I hadn't thought of, things that maybe I had not been aware of. He begins to bring nuances to His word for His people that day that I've got to write down, and I've got to put in the margins and say, all right, that helps to really color the message this morning not in a different way, but in a nuanced way that the people would not have received had I not been in this room with our team of leaders. And so, and I try to affirm that, encourage that in our team, that, hey, look, you're helping me to develop the sermon. It's not just me standing up there, but we're a leadership team standing on that stage, delivering the word of God, because you're helping to discern and to form the prophetic, what God's speaking prophetically into this church, as we spiritually are being formed privately and then as a team. I've got to be careful. I'm going to start preaching here in a minute, and then we've got to take up an offering, and it could get messy. But I just get excited about this because it's not just an isolated event. What we're talking about is spiritual formation that strengthens us personally as the leader, but has the potential and the capacity to, if we'll build relational connections with our leadership team, to just ignite within them a fire that burns bright and deep and is so transformative in them, and again carries on to the life of the entire church.
Excellent. Charles, that was powerful. And I don't think I'll forget that quote. I've heard you say it before, and I'm glad you said it today, that your relationships are the delivery system in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that is very true. Even when it comes to spiritual formation, it's not just a personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
It is a journey that we take with other people in the kingdom. And I think that's a vital, just a bottom line takeaway from today. We need to wrap up today. Again, we're going to continue talking on the subject of leadership development, both both yourself as someone that's growing, but also how you develop other people in the local church. But in wrapping up today, we want to remind you we have resources to help you grow spiritually and discover how Christ can work through you. Last week, Charles offered people to participate in taking the DISC profile. In fact, John Maxwell, Charles, you have a specific DISC assessment that you provide. Tell us about that for a few seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. In the Maxwell method of DISC, it's similar to many other DISC assessments you can take, but within the Maxwell DISC profile that you receive, you'll take the assessment, you'll get about a 30 to 32 page report from that assessment, and contained in the pages of that report is what's called the power DISC. And so the Maxwell team has identified seven different leadership qualities, skills, and so we can take that power DISC and really do some powerful coaching in your life to help grow and form up leadership and leadership development for you individually or for your team. So those things are available with the power DISC.
Yeah, and we can help you get connected to Charles. You'll find his email address below in the information beneath the screen. And also, we invite you to check out a character assessment and a spiritual life assessment that we have available to you at coachingcardia.com. And we can get you more information. Again, look at the information below. We're so glad you could join us today. We can't wait to see you next week on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Have a great week. See you next time.